Right. It is good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God, enjoy the song service. Victor does a fine job in directing our minds in singing, and the prayers and those things should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. I guess I was pretty much brought up with just plain teachers. Just say what you say and give the scripture. And I pretty much like that. And so this morning I want to talk about some things everyone needs to know. There's just some things everyone needs to know. There are some things in life man can get by without knowing. A lot of things I don't know, got by, do okay, without knowing. I would like to call to our attention some things we must all know. And number one, there is a God. Everybody ought to know this. There is a God. And I've talked to people, atheists. I don't know if you all ever talked to an atheist or not, but I have. And he don't believe in God. And I think Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's sad. But in Genesis 1:1, plain preaching. In Genesis 1, the first book in the Old Testament, the first book in the Bible, and the first verse. And it tells us there is a God. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created the heavens and the earth? God did. When did he do it? In the beginning. Now there's people who teach the Big Bang Theory. That's how the world came into existence, the Big Bang Theory. No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I just believe it. Look at Exodus 20:3. Exodus 20:3. Moses, the great lawgiver, tells ancient Israel, there is a God. Ain't no way nobody can tell me anything different. There is a God. And there's a song that we sing. There is a God and he is alive. You shall have no other gods before you. So there's another verse that proves there is a God. And God was telling Israel, you shall have no other gods before me. And so we have to always remember that we can't worship idols. We can't put anything before God. But I'm looking at Psalms 19:1. In Psalms 19:1, just doing some plain teaching, plain preaching, where the psalmist says in Psalms 19:1, give you time to find that. And those out there listening, sometimes it may be a little hard for you to find the scriptures, but write them down and then read them later. But everybody needs to be reading the scriptures. You can listen, but if you don't believe me, and if I was you, I'd write it down and read it, because I can make mistakes. But that's okay if you just want to listen. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. It declares, in other words, it tells the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The handiwork is the work of God. Everyone needs to understand there is a God. Look at his work. And I love Gatlinburg. Hadn't been there in a while, but You go to Gatlinburg, it's beautiful. Oh, and you go in the fall of the year, you can go in the summer too, but in the fall of the year, when those leaves change, it's a beautiful sight. And then a man tells me there is no God, he said, I'm a devout atheist. I'm a devout atheist. You get into something like that, if you can't convince them to just look up and you can see creation, and you can see, feel the gentle breeze, and you can see the sunshine and the moon, and you can go down Gatlinburg and see all the beautiful trees and the waters, the springs, and all of that. And then you telling me there is no God, there's nothing else I can, I just leave a person like that. I mean, I don't know what else to say. And the Bible makes it plain, man is without excuse. He's just without excuse. But that's not enough. Look at Acts 17 and 28. When Paul was on Mars Hill, and there were people who had an idol for everything, and the Apostle Paul, and they even had one to the unknown God, and Paul just told them, that's the one you need to be serving. And in Acts chapter 17, and look at verse 8. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. We're the offspring of God. Paul says that he's telling us that man could not exist without God for a single minute. He couldn't exist without God for a single minute. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. You know the reason why I'm able to walk around is God. God. I'm able to breathe, God. I couldn't do anything without him. We live, we move, and we have our being. And we just need to thank God that he gives us the ability to do what we can do. Goodness and severity of God. Romans 11 and 22. A lot of people just think about the goodness of God. Well, God is good, but he's also severe. And if you look at Romans 11. Look at Romans 11. And God wanted the Jews to know, just because you are a Jew, just because you are my chosen people, if you don't obey me, you'll be cut off. Romans 11 and 22. Romans 11 and 22. One lady said, the God that I serve, he won't send nobody to hell. She didn't read the Bible. It's not the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible, there's going to be some people who are not going to make it because they're not going to obey. It's sad. Therefore, we'll just back up to 21. For if God did not spare the natural branches were, they were the Jews, natural branches. He may not spare you, Gentiles. Consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity, but towards you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Okay? Now, we know that the Jews, once again, was God's chosen people. The Gentiles, they were grafted in. And God was letting the Gentiles know, even though you were grafted in, you okay, but you got to be faithful. He wanted the Jews to know, just because you are my chosen people, you got to be faithful. And if you're not faithful, you will be cut off. That's God's goodness and God's severity. But number two, let's look into something else here. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's not my word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it is the Word of God. And Paul was writing to the preacher Timothy. And these scriptures we read and over, they're not going to change. We don't have anything new. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we probably can quote these. We done read them so many times. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, both Old and New Testament, is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We must study God's word, believe God's word, and obey God's word. And we're going to be okay when we study God's word, we believe God's word, and we obey God's word. 2 Peter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and 28. Let's look at this one. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Let's look at verse 20 and verse 20 and 21. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Because sometimes when you study with people, that here's what I've heard people tell me. Now, that's your opinion. That's your interpretation, Mr. Woods. And you have your interpretation, and I have mine. We both are okay. Well, the Bible, we don't interpret the Bible. We may explain it, but we don't interpret the Bible. There's no private interpretation. And if you look here, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. We don't interpret the Bible. Everybody don't have their own way about interpreting the Bible. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so what God gave, the Holy Spirit gave the word to the apostles, and then the apostles has given it to us. That's how we got it today. And we don't interpret the Bible. We explain it, but we don't interpret the Bible. God's holy men spoke only what they heard, nothing else. 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's look at this one. It's God's word. The Bible is the word of God. It's not my word. It's not your word. It's God's word. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Glory. I looked up the word glory, and it says dignity, honor, praise, worship. We give God our best. Give him all we have. I looked up the word virtue. Virtue means courage. It means courage. Courage in doing what is right in the sight of God and enduring the consequences. Virtue is courage. God wants us to have courage. He does. He hadn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In 1 Thessalonians 2, Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 13. The Bible is the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And here Paul commended these brethren. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And we know that when we let the word work in us, we can see God's word working in us when we follow his word. We can see God's word working in others when they follow the word of God. We can see that. You can see kindness in people when they're kind. You can see patience in people when they're patient. And we just have to keep holding on to all of that. And Paul commended these brethren because he could see the good works coming out of their lives. But there's another point I want to bring, and we'll bring it to a close. The word of God must not be changed, but we must abide in it. You can't change it. And way back in Deuteronomy, chapter 4 and verse 2, Moses the lawgiver was telling ancient Israel, God was telling them, don't change the word. I'm going to read that here. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. I tell you what, we just read verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. Now watch it. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. See, they could not add. They couldn't take anything away. It's the same way today. I'll show you here later on. We cannot add to God's word, nor can we take anything away from God's word. And when we hear it, we just need to love it and accept it and let it work in our lives. I remember a guy, every morning he'd want a scripture. He said, I want you to quote me a scripture every morning. And I said, okay, I'll think of some scriptures to quote. And I would quote something like John 3:16. And he would think about that. And then I would quote just scriptures. Then I quoted Acts 2:38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. He said, I don't know about that one now. He wanted me to pick some stuff that he wanted to hear. And when I was started quoting some scriptures that he didn't like, all that ended. Because I got to quoting scripture that he didn't like. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I said, we need to go to church every Sunday. I said, for Hebrews 10:25, I said, forsake not the assembling. Well, I don't know. But it's God's word. Don't add, don't take away. Look at Proverbs 30 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6. Where Solomon, he says in Proverbs 30 and verse 6, this is what the man of God says here. Proverbs 30 and verse 6. And like I said, just sometimes just plain teaching, just plain preaching. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. See that? Don't add. Leave it alone. I tell man, I say, man, you messing with it. You messing with it. Leave it alone. If it's not there, we better leave it. Leave it alone. 1 Corinthians 4 and 6. Another good scripture. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. Don't go beyond what is written. Don't think beyond what is written. We know that God has all the authority in heaven and on earth. He has the authority in the church. And just because a person may be eloquent in his speech, he need to give the scripture. He just need to give the scripture. One preacher done a preacher told me that he did a meeting and said he wouldn't give very many scriptures. Said he'd get up right. He was a good talker. And they had to tell him, you're going to start giving some scriptures. Very eloquent, you know, could talk. But no scripture. We need to give the scripture. 2 John 9, this is pretty close to Revelation. And here's what 2 John, I got some of these, you know, not bragging, but I can memorize a lot of this. 2 John 9, but we're going to read it. 2 John 9, I know you got them down too. Well, here's what John tells us. 2 John chapter 9. Now, John only has one chapter. Okay, so 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Okay, I don't want to confuse nobody. And we're going to look at verse 9. Whoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine that the apostles taught, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's what John says. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. And then since you're there, John, look at Revelations 22 and 18. Revelations, that's Jude, and then Revelations 22. 22 and verse 18. The Apostle John, he says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophet of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's pretty plain, isn't it? You don't want your name out of the book of life, because that's when Jesus comes back. If man's name is not in the book of life because he didn't repent and God took it out, as long as a person does wrong, he repents, his name stays in the book of life. If I teach false doctrine and somebody pointed out to me and I don't want to repent, eventually God will take my name out of the book of life. And when I stand before Christ, if my name is not in there, I'm going to be in trouble. That's why I want to stay with the scriptures. Stay with it. One more scripture. Galatians 1, 6 and 9. 6 through 9, Galatians. Where Paul kind of was telling these brethren, he was just sort of amazed at them. Because what they did, they knew the truth, had the truth, and they let false teachers come in and deceive them. Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him that called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there be some who trouble you. That's that word. There be some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You reject that doctrine. You reject the teaching. Look at the next verse. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Don't accept it. It could be for me. I hope I don't. I go into losing my mind. I go outside once I get up here. Y'all don't know it yet. Set me down. Set me down. Because I hope that don't happen, but I've known the preachers do that. That set them down because they lost their mind. Lost it. And they didn't mean to lose it, but they just, got just lost. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. And there's other scriptures we could read. But what have we said? Some things everyone needs to know. Everyone needs to know there is a God. We all need everybody. I should go out there. There shouldn't be no atheists. There's no excuse for that. There's just no excuse. And if I run across some more, I'm going to say, man, there's no excuse you being an atheist. All you got to do is just look up. Look around. Who you think moving you? Because you're not doing it by yourself. God. God. Number two, the Bible is the word of God. It's not my word. I may get mixed up on some doctrine, but I got to get it straight. It's not my word. The Bible is the word of God. And number three, the word of God must not be changed, but must abide in it. And sometimes people tell me, sometimes members of the church tell me, well, that don't fit my lifestyle. I'm not going to accept it. Ain't that sad? There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. You need to be a Christian. You can't go to heaven and being a person who hadn't been baptized. To obey God and the plan of salvation, one must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, must hear the gospel. Believe it. Mark 16:16, Jesus tells us, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Must repent of their sin. Luke 13:3, except you repent, you are perished. Confess Christ before men. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, he who confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you. And you ask people, you don't need to confess it before men. They shake their head. I'm not going to do that. He's going to be in trouble. Can't be saved. Got to confess before men. And one must be baptized and go down into the watery grave of baptism. Come up out of the water He'll be a brand new creature, a brand new person. His old sins have been washed away. Got to be baptized. You got to go down into the watery grave of baptism. Get that cup of water away from here. Sprinkling somebody on top of the head with a cup of water. That's not in the Bible. You've got to go down into the water. Philip and the eunuch went both down into the water. But yet you find the Methodists believe in sprinkling and pouring, just leaving the scriptures. Don't listen to them, listen to the Bible. If you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make your life right with God while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.